Amen. All right, well, we're there in Psalm 113, and I'd like you to keep your place there. We're going to come back to it, but I'd like you to go with me just real quickly to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 10. And if you're there in Psalms, you're just going to head one book over to Proverbs chapter number 10, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 1 with me, Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father." I want you to notice the last part of this verse. "But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I want you to notice that word heaviness there. And if you just keep your place there in Proverbs 10, actually, you know, go with me to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, just remember that word heaviness. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 17 and verse number 21 says this. Proverbs 17:21 says, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his," notice this word, "sorrow." Doeth it to his sorrow. I want you to notice that the same word that is translated in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 as heaviness is also translated in Proverbs 17 and verse 21 as sorrow. When we talk about heaviness, if you go back to Proverbs 10:1, and we talk about the heaviness of his mother, what we're talking about is a sorrowful mother. It is a mother who is in sorrow. She is heavy. And the Bible here speaks to us that a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. In fact, go with me to Proverbs 29, just real quickly. Proverbs 29, and look at verse number 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29, 15 says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." And we're going to look at this verse several times during the sermon this morning. "But a child left to himself," I just want you to notice the last part of the verse, "bringeth his mother to shame." Bringeth his mother to shame. It's interesting how the Bible talks a lot about a wise son making a glad father and a father being glad and joyful for his children. And I believe that fathers should love their children and try to influence their children. But the Bible talks also about the fact that when a child grows up to do wrong in life, when they grow up to be a foolish son, when they grow up to be a fool, it says that it's the heaviness of the mother. It's the sorrow of the mother. It is the shame of the mother. And this morning on Mother's Day, I want to preach to you a maybe peculiar sermon, but I think it'll be a helpful sermon on the subject of how to fail as a mother. How to fail as a mother. And you know, a sobering thought that all of us as parents need to have is that simply because we have children doesn't mean that we will be successful in rearing those children. And in fact, we could take it a step further. Simply because you are a Christian does not mean that you will be a successful parent. And it should be a sobering thought to all of us, especially those of us who are actively rearing children, who have children living at home, who have children that we are raising, that it is possible to end our parenting career with shame and sorrow and heaviness. And you say, "Pastor Jimenez, why would you preach a sermon about how to fail as a mother?" Because I want you to understand the things that sometimes parents do when they fail. And I want to help you to avoid those pitfalls. This morning, I'm going to give you 10 statements. We're going to move through them as quickly as we can. 10 things that parents do that cause them to fail, that will cause them as a mother to end with shame, to end with heaviness. And let me say this, you know, the sermon is meant to help mothers this morning. And moms, you know, please listen up. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you don't have a baby on your lap, to write these statements down and to take notes. But let me say this. The sermon and the things we're going to talk about will apply to fathers, will apply to grandmothers, will apply to grandfathers, will apply to future parents. And especially, let me just right off the bat, because the last point, point number 10, is for those of you that maybe feel like I've already failed. You know, it's already done. I've already messed up. And I just want to encourage you that the worst thing you could do for a child is to quit on them and give up on them. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the sermon. But let me just go ahead and say this. If you're here this morning, you think like, well, I've already messed up, I already failed. You know, please listen to this sermon because you can continue to have an influence on your children. You can have an influence on future grandchildren. You can have an influence on future great-grandchildren. So all of us should be paying attention to the things that the Word of God has for us today. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. What I find when I preach sermons like these, and I, you know, at Verity Baptist Church, I preach a lot of different subjects about the family, and we talk about the family and family life, and I think it's important because the foundation of our church is the strength of the families in our church. And what I find, though, is that when you preach sermons like these, the parents who are already trying to do a really good job, you know, just kind of beat themselves up and, you know, think like, oh, I'm failing, you know, and I'm doing all 10 of those things. And I look at some of these parents and I'm like, man, you're doing an awesome job, you know. And then it seems like the parents that maybe could use some help act like, oh, that's not for me. I don't need that. You know, so let me just say this, just to make sure that nobody, you know, the sermon's for everybody. And especially moms, I want you to listen to the words in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Proverbs 1, 5 says this, a wise man. Now, when it says the word man there, it's talking about mankind. You could apply that to a woman, it's a person. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And here's all I want to tell you, mom. If you were smart, you'd listen to the sermon this morning. If you want to avoid 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, being the mother that is full of heaviness and sorrow, if you want to avoid being the mother who is brought to shame, I would encourage you. In fact, I would beg you to listen to the things that we're going to talk about today. I want to give you 10 statements about how to fail as a mother. And I want to give you these so you can avoid these pitfalls in your parenting. Number one, go to Psalm 113. That's where we started this morning, Psalm 113. And I'd like you to look at verse number 9, Psalm 113 and verse 9. The Bible says here, he maketh the barren woman, talking about God, God is the he there, he maketh the barren woman to keep house, talking about the fact that it is God who opens and closes the womb, and it is God who can make a barren woman to be married, to keep house, notice, and this barren woman to be a, I want you to notice these words, a joyful mother of children, praise ye the Lord. I want you to notice that the Bible describes a godly mother who's accomplishing what she should be accomplishing, who has God on her side, who has God helping her. He describes her as a joyful mother. As a joyful mother. And you know, today we have been brainwashed by the world. Go to Psalm 127. You're there in Psalm 113. Go to Psalm 127. Today we have been brainwashed by the world to see children as a burden, to see children as an inconvenience, to see children as a, you know, task that is unbearable on our lives. And you mothers, the first thing I'd like you to understand today, if you want to avoid failure as a mother, is to not see, or let me just tell you, this is what mothers who fail do. They see their children as a burden. Point number one this morning is, if you want to fail as a mother, see your children as a burden. And here's what I want you to understand. That is not a philosophy that comes from God and from the Word of God. That is a philosophy that children are a burden, that children are a nuisance, that children are an inconvenience. That is a philosophy that comes from the world. It does not come from the Word of God. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Notice these words, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Notice what it says. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Full of what? Of the children that are represented there by the arrows. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with thine enemies in the gate. Look, the Bible speaks of children as a blessing. The Bible speaks of children as an opportunity to be able to do great things with them and for God. And when today we are being told, no, children are a burden, children are difficult, children are hard, children are an inconvenience, children are not, you know, are not something that'll make your life go easy. And that does not come from the Word of God. The Word of God said that He wants us as parents and He wants mothers to be a joyful mother of children. Not a discouraged mother of children, not a inconvenienced mother of children, but a mother who looks at her opportunity as a with her children with joy. She realizes they are a reward from God. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You're there in Psalms. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. And let me just say this, because look, we've been so brainwashed by the world. You know, I go out with my children all the time. We have five kids, number six on the way. And I go out with my children all the time, and you know, we're in airports, and we're in restaurants, and we're at the grocery store. And, you know, my kids are walking along with me and walking along with my wife and being well-behaved or whatever. People walk up to us all the time and say, man, I don't know how you do it. Look, these kids are so well-behaved. You know, kids are so, difficult. I don't know how you do it. Kids are so burdensome. And just understand this. Please understand this. When somebody tells you, children are a burden, just realize that what they're really saying is, my children are a burden. They're not saying children are, you know, when somebody says, oh, children are a burden, I just translate that to, no, your children are a burden. And you know, and I learned this in a very specific way. You know, I've known this and thought this, but I learned this with a very specific illustration. Last year, my wife and I and our entire family went out to Fort Worth, Texas. I was preaching at Steadfast Baptist Church with Pastor Donnie Romero. And Pastor Romero, I don't know if you know this, has nine children. And Pastor Romero, you know, texted me when we got there. He said, hey, want to take you guys out to this nice sit-down restaurant, you know, whatever. And of course, you know, we were like, yeah, praise the Lord, let's go, you know, and we drove there. And of course, on the way there, we're going through the speech that we go through with our kids anytime we go anywhere is, you know, you sit quietly, you don't get up, you can talk to your friends, but make sure you keep low voices, you know, you need to, you know, be well-behaved, blah, blah. Well, we get there. You know, and when we get there, I didn't think about it at the time. I knew he had nine kids, but I didn't think about it at the time. You know, when you walk into a restaurant and you are seated and there's four adults and 13 children, you know, you get a lot of attention. And you know, we literally, I'm not joking with you, we literally had like five or six people just stop at the table during the course of our meal, and they were just like, I am just amazed how well-behaved these kids are. I cannot believe you've got these 13 kids that are sitting here. I'm thinking to myself, like, only five of these are mine. I mean, look, these people need to write a book. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. We need to sit at the feet of Donnie Romero and figure out how to, you know, go to a steakhouse with nine kids, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, but people are just saying, these kids are so great, these kids are so great. But, you know, here's the honest truth. I've been to restaurants where there's a family with two little brats, and it's a nightmare. And those people would tell you, kids are a burden. And what they really mean is, no, your kids are a burden. Right, because I'll go to a steakhouse with Donnie Romero and his nine kids any day of the week. Because kids aren't a burden, but undisciplined kids are a burden. Are you there in Proverbs 22? Look at verse 15. So when someone tells you, oh, kids are a burden, just realize what they're telling you is, no, your kids are a burden. You know, people tell me, oh, kids are a burden. I'm like, my kids are fine. It's your kids. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Okay, so just with point number one, you know, don't see your kids as a burden. Don't see your kids as a burden. Because the moment you start seeing your children as a burden, as an inconvenience that you need to get rid of, you've already failed as a parent. Don't see your kids as a burden. Now, here's the good news and the bad news, all right? The good news is this. If you see your children as a burden, here's the good news. There's absolutely nothing wrong with your children. Isn't that a relief? Because the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. All right? Let me explain to you. Every child is naturally bad. Every child is naturally, you don't have to put them on any drugs. You don't have to take them to any counseling. Here's the good news. If you see your children as a burden, the good news is this. There's nothing wrong with your kids at all. Here's the bad news. If you see your children as a burden, there's something wrong with your parenting. Amen. Now, we can fix that, all right? We can fix that. And in fact, if you're smart, you'd listen to the next 9 points in this sermon. But here's point number one. You must see your children. You must never see your children as a burden. Never see your children. The moment that parents cross that line into my kids are a burden, they've lost the battle. And let me just say this. If you're going to just be bullheaded and be a failure anyway and not take heed to the word of God, can you at least do this? Never express to your children that they are a burden. I mean, what kind of parent, you know, puts some guilt trip on their kids? They didn't ask to be born to you. They didn't ask to be brought into that family. You know, I'm trying to help you not fail as a mother. Never express to your children that they are a burden. Never express to your children. And by the way, anything you want your children to do, never look at it negatively. You know, in our home, we try to talk about church life as the greatest thing in the world. You know why? Because serving God is the greatest thing in the world. And you say, Pastor, is it hard sometimes? You know, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes people stab you in the back. Sometimes people lie about you. Sometimes people blame you for their own mistakes. Sometimes people gossip about you. Sometimes they treat you bad. But you know, we never portray that to our children. You know why? Because we want them to see that serving God is the greatest thing they can do with their life. And you know, mom, make sure you're not just portraying to your children and putting into your children's mind, you're a burden. You ruined my life. I'd be happy if I didn't have all these kids. That's the worst thing you could do for a child. How do you not fail as a mother? Number one, see your children as a burden. When you see your children as a burden, you've already failed. You've already lost. Number two, not only will seeing your children as a burden cause you to be a failure, but point number two is this, fail to discipline your children. Failing to discipline your children will cause you to fail as a mother. Proverbs 29, look at verse 17. Proverbs 29 and verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 says this. Correct thy son. Correct thy son. Notice these words. Correct thy son, and he shall, notice these words, give thee rest. You see that? Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know that here's the lie of the devil when it comes to parenting. Here's the lie of Dr. Spock and Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey. Here is a lie. It is actually easier to parent when you discipline your children. The Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So if you say to me, no, children are a burden. They don't give me rest. They don't give me delight. Then you're probably not disciplining them right. Amen. You know, just recently I was at the airport with my daughter. I was flying to go preach somewhere. And it was just me and my daughter. Brother David, actually. Brother David Santiago came with us. But as far as my kids, it was my daughter Elizabeth. And we were sitting at the airport there eating. And I hear just this wailing, like it sounded like a jihadist. I thought, you know, the airport was under attack. And I look over and I see this little girl about the size of my daughter just running, you know, and I'm like, and just wailing and screaming, you know. And then I look up and I see this mom just running after her, you know. And this girl, you know, just like dives into this trash can. I think what happened was the mom threw something away in the trash can that the girl wanted. And the girl dives into the trash can, flinging stuff out of the trash can. You know, my daughter and I are sitting there, you know, eating our french fries, watching this. And the mom starts pulling this girl out of the trash can. Now, this girl must have had training in boxing. I'm not joking you. Because as soon as she pulls the girl off, she goes into a stance, and she literally starts punching her mom. No joke. In the stomach, just like. And I mean, she's like ducking, and I'm like, good night. You know, we're going to need a referee. And I sat there, and I thought to myself, you know, it'd be easier for you to just discipline that girl. You know, it would have just been easier. You thought the timeout, you thought, you know, you're doing the right, but it actually would have just been easier for your life if you would have just disciplined that girl at a young age and got control over her actions. And you know what? That girl ended up getting what she wanted out of that trash can. Because it was the only way to settle her down, you know? The Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Go to Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. How do you fail as a mother? Number one, see your children as a burden. Number two, fail to discipline your children. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So how do I make my children wise? They need the rod and they need reproof. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And let me just hit some of the failures when it comes to disciplining children, all right? Here's failure number one. Be too lazy to discipline at home. People who fail at raising their children right is because they are too lazy to discipline at home. They're too lazy to come downstairs or get off the couch or go upstairs or go in the backyard or go in the garage or wherever it is that their kids are being bad and correct them properly. And then they end up being made to look like a fool in public. Then they look like a fool at the restaurant or at the airport or at wherever. But if you just took care of it at home, look, if you just had the discipline done at home privately, they wouldn't embarrass you publicly. So you fail. Failure number one is be too lazy to discipline at home. Failure number two is this: making excuses for their behavior. Making excuses for their behavior. You will fail in the Christian life when you make excuses for your children. Look, when you're constantly, and look, I realize that I make these statements and people get all offended. I get it. Kids get tired and they act up. My kids get tired and they act up. But you know, my wife and I, when our kids are tired and they act up, I might say to my wife, like, oh, she's just tired. And my wife will say, well, that's not an excuse. Or she might say, you know, all the kids are tired. And I say, well, that's not an excuse. You know, it's never an excuse for them to just act up and start punching you in the face, all right? There's no excuse for that. But here's the thing. You know, parents who fail at disciplining, they're often dragging their kids out of the grocery store, dragging their kids out of the restaurant, dragging their kids onto the airplane, dragging their kids out of wherever, you know, with these kids screaming and yelling. And you know what they go around saying? Like, oh, she's tired. She's tired. He missed a snap. He missed a snap. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and make excuses for your children and make excuses for their behavior and use that as a reason to not discipline them, and you will fail as a parent. You know, what you should be saying as you're dragging them out of the grocery store is, she needs a spanking. She needs a spanking. She needs to be dealt with. How do you fail as a mother? How do you end up being the mother who's brought to shame, the heaviness? Well, number one, you see your children as a burden. Number two, you fail to discipline. Here's failure number three. Give in to your children and let them win. If there is one thing that I wish I could get parents to understand is this. When it comes to a conflict between parent and child, parent must win every time. Amen. When it comes to a conflict between mom and child, dad and child, mom and preteen, dad and preteen, mom and teen, dad and teen, mom and young adult, dad, are you getting what I'm saying? When it comes to a conflict in wills between the parents and the child, mom and dad, you better make sure you win every time. Because when you give in, when you go ahead and bring out the McDonald's bag out of the trash can and let them have it so that they'll quit being such a nuisance at the airport, you have lost. You have lost as a parent. You have lost. You have failed. Failure number three is give in to your children and let them win. Proverbs 13:24, if you can get there, Proverbs 13:24 says this: he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Those are strong words. Today people say, oh, I can't spank them because I love them so much. No, you're lying. Because whenever it's between what you say and what the Word of God says, the Word of God is always right. And the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The loving parent is not the one who sits there and gives in. The loving parent is the one that sits there and takes care of it. Here's another failure. Go to Leviticus chapter 19, and this one's specifically to mothers. I see this often. Leviticus 19, got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark there in Leviticus because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Leviticus chapter number 19. And I want you to look at verse number 3, but let me give you failure number 4. Moms, I want you to listen. This is a failure in your home. Making your husband the only disciplinarian in the home. When you make your husband the only disciplinarian in the home, you will fail as a mother. And moms will often do this where they're like, oh, well, my kids won't listen to me. You wait till your father gets home. When you make statements like that, you failed. Leviticus 19 and verse 3. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Ye shall fear every man. Notice what it says. His mother. And his father. You know that your kids should be as afraid of you, mom, as they are of dad? Oh, well, they only, you know, respect dad, and they're only, do right for dad, and it's only when that, well, then you're failing, mom. Right. Ye shall fear every man his mother, is what the Bible says, and his father. And when you make your husband the only disciplinarian in the home, you will fail as a mother. Mom, you need to be, if there needs to be a primary disciplinarian in the home, it needs to be you. Because you're the one that spends most of the time with these children. And look, it's not fair to your husband, who's gone for 8 hours or 9 hours or 10 hours a day, to have to come home and then the first thing he's got to do is spank all the kids because you're too weak to do it. Are you trying to make your kids hate dad? You know, you're trying to make your kids just hate that dad comes home because whenever dad comes home, you know, we got all these spankings ranked up from all the foolish things we did all day because mommy's too lazy. Look, you need to make sure, mom, that you are not putting it on your husband. And look, here's the rule of thumb that it should be done for parenting is that the parent who the offense has been done to, that's the parent who should take care of it. So when dad says, hey, go take out the trash and the kids don't do it, then dad needs to deal with it. But when mom says, go take out the trash and the kids don't do it, then mom needs to deal with it. Why? Because children need to learn to fear every man, his mother and his father. They need to fear both sets of parents. They need to be afraid of both sets of parents. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. So number one, see your children as a burden. Number two, fail to discipline your children. Number three, and this, I put all of these kind of together because they all have to go with discipline, and we're going to talk about some things that are not discipline in a second. But number three, be harsh with your children and never encourage or praise them. You want to fail as a parent? Be harsh with your children and never encourage or praise them. And you say, well, Pastor Benz, you just got done talking about, you know, disciplining your children. And look, you better discipline your children if you're going to succeed as a parent. But that discipline needs to be balanced with love and encouragement and comfort. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 3, notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 4, 3, for I was my father's son. Notice what the Bible says. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Here you have Solomon saying that his mother's love and his mother's gentleness, her tenderness, was very apparent to him. She was not just a disciplinarian, but she was not just harsh with him. She also loved him and encouraged him. Go to Isaiah 66 and verse number 12. You're there in Proverbs. You're going to go past the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 12. Isaiah 66 and verse 12. Isaiah 66, 12 says this. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall she suck. She shall be borne upon her sides and be damned upon her knees. Notice verse 13. As one, this is God using this example. He says, as one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Here, God uses the example of a mother and says, I'm going to comfort you like one who his mother comforteth. Why? Because if there's anyone that should be comforting her children, encouraging her children, praising her children, it should be mom. And you know, as fundamental Baptists, we listen to the first 3 points of this sermon, right, about encouraging, about disciplining your children and correcting your children and making sure they're well-behaved and making sure they're this and making sure that. And then moms get this idea that they're just supposed to be these, like, drill sergeants with their kit and they're harsh. Look, make sure you balance discipline with love. Make sure you're kind to your kids and you're encouraging your kids and you're harsh with your kids. Sometimes you see these mothers and it's like, you know, they're just like, their kids can't do anything right. You know, look, if your kids are at the grocery store and they're just walking by you, you know, walking next to you down the grocery store and being well-behaved, great. But don't be this mom, you're just like slapping them up the head because they look the wrong way. You know, you see this in church all the time. They're just like, hey, sit, you know. And it's like, mom, you know, why don't you just listen to the preaching? Amen. You know, it's okay if the kids, you know, as long as they're sitting there and they're not being loud, you know, it's okay if they wiggle a little bit. They're kids. They're children. They're in training. And when you are harsh with your children and you're just this drill sergeant, you're never encouraging them. You're never praising them. You know, after church sometime, when your kids did a good job, you say, hey, you did a really good job at church today. You know, listen, son, you did a good job at the grocery store today. Listen, honey, I appreciated how great you did when we went to the bank today. You know, you should not be harsh with your children. You should encourage and praise them. You should see when they do good things and encourage that in them. Number four, go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. We already saw this earlier, but let's look at this part. But a child left to himself. But a child left to himself. Number four, how to fail as a mother. Ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. If you want to fail as a mom, you will ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. You will ship them off to daycare and go to work. You will be a stay-at-home mom that spends 10 hours on Facebook. You will prioritize other things. You will, you know, go and be dating because you're single while your kids are just at home left to themselves. You know, the Bible says that children need to become the priority of a mother. And if you want to fail as a mother, you just go ahead and ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. Because the Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, if you would go there. And when you get there, keep your place there because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. The Bible says this. Deuteronomy 6, 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them. I want you to notice these words. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I want you to notice the emphasis in that verse is when. When thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest, when thou risest. Why? Because God expects parents to spend all of their time with their children. And look, primarily that should be mother. Because look, the Bible says that wives are to be keepers at home. The Bible says that it is the men who are supposed to go out to work. And I realize that today saying that makes you a hateful person and saying that makes you a male chauvinist. But that's what the Word of God says. And if you want to succeed, you'd be smart to just do what the Bible says. The Bible says that women are to stay home, guide the house, and rule the children and love the children and help the children and let dad go off to work, mom, and you stay home and be with them when thou sittest thou and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Because if you ignore your children and prioritize other things over them, you will fail as a mother. So what have we learned so far? You know, how to fail as a mother. Number one, see your children as a burden. Number two, fail to discipline your children. Number three, be harsh with your children and never encourage them or praise them. You know, be a drill sergeant to your kids. Number four, ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. Go to Proverbs 29. I'm sorry, Proverbs 21 and verse number 9. Proverbs 21 and verse number 9. Proverbs 21 and verse number 9. Proverbs 21 and verse 9. You say, how do I fail as a mother? Let me give you number 6. Be an example of an angry and rebellious woman to your kids. Be an example of an angry and rebellious woman to your kids. You want to fail as a parent? Just give your kids an example of being not right with God. Proverbs 21 and verse 9 says this, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And you know that little girl at the airport that was brawling with her mom? You know what she's going to grow up to do? Brawl with her husband. And the Bible says that it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. He says it'd be better to be poor and live in somebody's attic and rent an attic than to be rich with a wide house, but you're married to a brawling woman. Proverbs 21 and verse 19 says this, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 25 and verse 24 says this, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 4. Towards the end of the New Testament, you've got James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1st Peter chapter number 3, and look at verse number 4. 1st Peter 3, 4, and you know what, let's just begin reading at verse number, let's look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Again, people want to ignore these things in the Word of God, but you know the Bible says that wives are to submit to their husbands? And it says, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You say, my husband won't listen. Well, maybe you can win him over. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, notice whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Look, God says that the emphasis, ladies, the emphasis ought to be on the inward, not the exterior. Now look, if you can work on the exterior, praise the Lord. But don't neglect the interior at the expense of the exterior. He says, look, it's not the adorning. Let it not be the adorning of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the wearing of the gold, or the putting on apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament, don't miss this. If there's anything that women, look, every woman in this room needs to just listen right now. If there's one thing that you need to understand that the Word of God teaches for women, it's this phrase. Let it be, notice what it says, even the ornament of, this should be the goal of every lady who wants to be a godly woman. A meek and, notice this word, quiet spirit. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that women ought to be characterized as meek and quiet. You know who you can't characterize as meek and quiet? Joyce Myers. You know why? Because she opens her mouth in church. You know what the Bible says? It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Listen, ladies, when you come to church, don't start yelling amen like some man. Don't walk up to the pulpit and start giving testimonies and start preaching sermons. What should characterize you is being a meek and quiet spirit. Right. Is being a woman who can be characterized as someone who is quiet. Who you look at them and they're not obnoxious. They're not loud. They're not contentious. They're not brawling. They're not fighting. They're not angry. They're meek and quiet. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And by the way, you guys, listen to me very carefully. I'm talking to the single guys, because you guys that are married, it's too late. You're done. You single guys, you know what you want to be looking for when you're looking for a wife? Meek and quiet. You know what most guys are looking for? Adorning of the hair, got, you know, the apparel, the makeup. You know, and here's the thing. Nothing wrong with that. You know, nothing wrong with finding a wife that is beautiful and you're attracted to her. You know, but you know what's more important than that? A meek and quiet spirit. And if you can, you know, I was lucky to get the full package. My wife is beautiful and meek and quiet. But, you know, some of you would be better off if you say, man, I'd be better if she was just meek and quiet. Because, you know, having a white house and a nice car and everything that the world has to offer, and then you go home to a brawling woman is not fun. It's not fun to go home to a woman who's loud and obnoxious. And listen to me. You moms, make sure you're setting the right example for your children. Make sure you're not teaching your daughters that this is how we treat men. We're loud and obnoxious. We're feisty and angry. Make sure you're not teaching your husbands that this is what, you know, the marriage is. That it's just, you know, a constant fighting back and forth. And, you know, my wife grew up unsaved, and she grew up in a different type of home than the home I grew up in. And she's, praise the Lord, she's came through a lot. And I won't give her testimony. You can talk to her if you want. But, you know, one thing I'm thankful for, and my parents weren't perfect. Obviously, no home is perfect. But one thing I'm thankful for my mom and dad, you know, let me just honor my parents on Mother's Day, is that, and I'm telling you the honest truth, I do not have a memory of my parents fighting. I'm not saying they never fought. I'm sure they fought. In fact, why don't you guys tell us about it? No, I'm saying, I'm sure they fought all the time because people fight. But you know what? I can tell you right now, I don't remember them fighting. They at least had enough sense to not do it in front of me. At least had enough sense to not do it in front of their children. You know, don't give your kids a bad example. Make sure that you give your children an example of not being, and mom specifically. And if you guys think like, oh, well, this isn't fair, wait till Father's Day. A sermon entitled How to Fail as a Father is coming. But, you know, if you want to not fail as a mother, mom, make sure that you are not being an example of an angry and rebellious woman to your kids. Go back to Proverbs. No, I'm sorry, go to Luke. Luke, chapter number 2. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're talking about how to fail as a mother. Number 1, see your children as a burden. Number 2, fail to discipline your children. Number 3, be harsh with your children and never encourage or praise them. Number 4, ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. Number 5, be an example of an angry and rebellious woman to your kids. Number 6, be oblivious to the state of your children's heart. Be oblivious to the state of your children's heart. You know, there's something, we're not told a lot about the childhood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's something that's highlighted in Luke chapter number 2 that I want you to notice. And here's what you need to understand about Mary. Mary must have been a very godly and wise woman for God to choose her to birth his son into this world. Now, of course, Mary was a woman like any other woman. She was a sinner like any other sinner. She's not someone that we should be, you know, praying to and, you know, acting like she's deity or God like the Roman Catholic Church does. But she is a woman that we can learn from and gather respect from. I want you to notice something about Mary as she was raising the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning, notice these words, this child. Now, this child is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them. Now, the them there is referring to Joseph and Mary by the shepherds. Verse 19. But Mary, notice, I want you to notice these words, especially you moms. But Mary kept all these sayings, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When they were talking about Jesus here as a baby, the shepherds come and they're talking to her about it as a baby. And the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Go down to verse number 46. Let's fast forward 12 years later. Jesus is now a 12-year-old. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And by the way, you know, Mary was obviously a great mother. That's why God chose her. But you know what? Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. Okay, so don't beat yourself up too much, moms. You know, if you're like, ah, oh, I'm just a failure. Have you ever lost your kid for 3 days? Because Mary did, and she was still chosen by God, and she obviously was a great woman. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And by the way, Jesus is actually correcting her, because she said, thy father and I have sought thee. And, you know, Joseph was not his father. That was his stepfather. He's saying, what do you mean, my father and I? I've been with my father. I've been about my father's business. Talking about God the Father. Verse 50. And if you got an NIV or another version of the Bible, it's going to name Joseph as his father. Look at verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And notice Jesus. Notice, was subject unto them, meaning he was obedient. Notice what the Bible says. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. When Jesus was born and the shepherds showed up, it said Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. 12 years later, she sees him there talking about the things of God, talking, you know, everybody's amazed at his doctrine. And he responds to her, and the Bible says that his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And here's what I want you to understand about Mary, and here's what you need to understand, mothers. If you're going to be a success as a mother, you need to not be oblivious to the state of your children's heart. What I mean is this. You need to be thinking and pondering in your heart and having conversations with your husband about the state of the heart of your children. My wife and I, you know, we're not perfect, and we're obviously, we make mistakes and things like that, but something that we often try to do is talk privately. You know, sometimes late at night, we're talking about some of the attitudes we see in our children, or some of the habits that we're starting to see, or some of the things that maybe they're doing, and we're trying to constantly just keep a pulse on the heart of your children. And Mary, the Bible tells us, she kept and pondered those things in her heart. And today, you've got mom and dad who just have no clue what's going on in the mind of their children. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because these kids go and shoot up schools, and mom's like, I don't know. I never saw it coming. Or you say, well, that's extreme. Okay, how about this? They turn 18 and quit on God? Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And, you know, and I'm constantly telling parents, you know, obviously kids go through rebellious stages, especially as a younger teens, you know, they go through rebellious stages, and I'm telling parents, weather the storm. I was just yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them, you know, just weather the storm. One of these days, I'm going to write a book called Weather the Storm, because most of the advice I give as a pastor is weather the storm. People are like, my marriage is falling apart, and I'm like, weather the storm. My kids are going astray, just weather the storm. My finances aren't good, just weather the storm, all right? Just stick with it. Just don't quit, you know? I mean, just weather the storm, and you'll be fine. But you know, hey, parents, but you know, you should be actively pondering the hearts of your children. Let me give you some questions that parents should be asking themselves about their kids. You know, you should be asking yourself this question. What's going on in their heads? What are they thinking about? What do they talk about when we're not around? What do they talk about with their friends when adults aren't around? Something my wife, I don't do this much, but I do it some, but my wife does it a lot. And you know, it's funny. My wife does it a lot, and I've seen mothers in this church do it. And whenever I see it, you know, I smile. Because my wife does a lot, and what I've seen some of the mothers in this church do a lot, is when those kids are playing back there, you know, in the back of the building over there, you know, the foosball table's there, it's okay for them to be playing there. I see moms creeping up. You know, the wall's right here, and they're just standing there. What are they doing? Just listening. Just listening what their kids are talking about. You know, I walk out of my office, sometimes I see a mom leaning up there, just listening. You know, I would smile. You know why? Because that mom is concerned with what her kids are talking about when the adults aren't around. You'd be a smart parent. You'd be a smart parent every once in a while. You crept up on your kids and just kind of listened. What are you talking about? What do they talk about when the kids aren't around? Say, oh, well, I can't read their diary. I'd be reading the diary. You say, ah, that's child abuse. You know what? Let your kids go to hell then. Let your kids grow up and just destroy their lives. But a good parent would be asking themselves, what's going on in the minds of my children? What do they talk about when their adults aren't around? What do they act like? You know what some of you parents need to be doing? You need to be sneaking up to that playroom and just kind of looking in. Amen. What do these kids act like when parents aren't around? How do they interact? You know, every once in a while at these PE classes, Mom, you may want to just step away from the rest of the ladies and just watch your kids interact with other kids. You may be shocked. You may just want to watch them interact with Brother Stucky or Brother Oliver at these different classes. You may be shocked. Oh, my children are just a perfect little angel when you're around. My children would never, when you're around. You know what a good parent would do? You know what a mother who is not going to fail would do? She would not be oblivious to the state of her children's hearts. She would listen when people talk about her kids to her and ponder those things in her heart. People come to Mary and tell her, Jesus has been here for 3 days. You know, and you know what she did? She kept those things in her heart. You know, when somebody walks up to you and says, hey, your kids. Your kid broke the window to the church van. You know, why am I using that as an example? Because I think that's one thing that has not been broken here, right? Because everything's been broken here. And if I give an example, where he's like, Pastor was talking about me, okay? If next week your kid broke the church van window, I'm a prophet, all right? But I don't think any kid has broke the church. You know, but here's the thing. You walk up to parents and you're like, hey, your kids are, you know, took a sledgehammer to the foosball table. And they're like, well, you know, they didn't get enough. If you're constantly making excuses for your children's behavior, you will fail. You know what a good parent would do, what a smart parent would do, what a mother who's not going to fail would do? She would ponder the things. She would keep those sayings. She'd be concerned about what her kids are thinking about and what her kids are talking about and how her kids are acting when they're not around and how her children are interacting with other children. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Find all those T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 2nd Timothy chapter number 1. And look at verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. How to not fail. How to not fail. Here's point number 7. If you want to fail, Mom, be fake and only concerned with how you're perceived. Be fake and only concerned with how you're perceived. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, when I call to remembrance the, I want you to notice this word, unfeigned. You see that word, unfeigned? You know what the word unfeigned means? It means not fake. Not fake. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, that is in who? That's Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I want you to notice that Paul was talking to Timothy here, and he was telling Timothy, you know, it's great that you have this unfake, unfeigned faith, and it dwelt in your mother, and it dwelt in your grandmother. And listen to me, kids are smarter than we give them, you know, credit for, and kids know a fake when they see one, especially when they're living with one. You know, one of my concerns as a pastor is obviously that one of the qualifications of a pastor is that we have a good rapport with people around us. But you know, my greatest concern as a pastor is not that I put this facade of great Christianity and then my kids walk out of my home talking about, that was just a disaster. That was just hypocrisy. You know what my goal as a father and the goal of my wife as a mother is that our kids leave our home one day and maybe they don't say good things, but they'll say, you know what, those people were real. The man you knew in the pulpit was the man we knew at home. And the woman you knew at the ladies' tea events and the woman you knew that was hosting all the ladies' events was the same woman. And we're not perfect, but at least we were real, unfeigned faith. Because you know what puts, the one thing that puts kids off to religion more than anything is just this fake hypocrisy. And you know, it's a great testimony of this grandmother and the Lois and this mother Eunice that Paul could say they were unfeigned. He didn't say they were perfect. He just said they were real. They loved God. They loved the Lord. You want to fail as a mother? Be fake. Be fake and only concerned with how you're perceived by others. That means you come to church and you're like, oh, be well, sit still and make me look good. But then at home it's like, do whatever you want. Go crazy. You know what? You should discipline your children the same at home as you do at church. You should love your children the same at home as you do at church. You should be the same at home as you do at church. One of the reasons that we started Verity Baptist Church in our house about 8 years ago was that so nobody could say like, oh, he's different at home. You know, like, no, we have our church at home. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. You know, it's the same. It says the same. You know, you homeschool your kids, be the same. Just be real. Don't be fake. Now look, let me give this, you know, disclaimer. Because sometimes people hear this sermon and then they think like, okay, so then let's bring all our drama to church, okay? Don't bring all your drama to church either, all right? Just because we're not being fake doesn't mean we're just, look at my life, it's a mess, okay? You know, have some discernment and discretion, but be real. Your kids will know if you're real. Your kids will know if you're real. And it'll affect them. Timothy was affected by the unfeigned faith that was found first in his grandmother Lois and also in his mother Eunice. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me give you point number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Here's point number 8. Allow your children, if you want to fail, Mom, allow your children to be mouthy and disrespectful to adults. If you want to fail, allow your children to be mouthy and disrespectful to adults. 1 Timothy 5:1 says this, rebuke not an elder. Now let me just explain this real quickly. The word elder there is talking about two different things. It's talking about both. It's talking about an older person, and it's also talking about the position of a pastor. The reason for that is because a pastor is supposed to not be a novice spiritually. He's supposed to be an elder So when it says elder there, it's talking about someone who's spiritually elder, but also someone who's physically elder. You say, well, how do you know that the word elder there is talking about both? Well, two reasons. Verse 52 says the elder women, okay? So the context is about older people. But if you go down to verse 17 in the same chapter, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That's talking about a pastor. So in the same context of the same chapter, he's using the word elder for people who are older and also for people who are spiritually older. So, I'm just telling you that so you understand. Rebuke not an elder is talking about you don't speak to an adult, someone who's older than you that way, but you also don't speak to a pastor that way because a pastor should be spiritually mature. And you say, should pastors be young? Well, in the same book, Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Which, so obviously he was a young man, but he was not a novice. He was spiritually mature. So notice what it says, rebuke not an elder. You know what rebuke means? Rebuke means that you don't walk to an adult and tell them you're wrong. He says, in fact, if you ever have to, have a conflict with an elder, he says, entreat him as a father. Entreat him as a father. You know that never in my life would I walked up to my dad as a 10-year-old kid and said, listen, guy, you're wrong. That would have been the last day of my life. if my mom and dad needed me to tell him something, I walked very carefully and cautiously. And I was weighing in my mind, is this even needed? Is this conflict even needed? And that's what the Bible says, how you should be approaching a pastor, but also just people that are older. You rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Notice, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. You need to teach your children to not rebuke adults, to not be mouthy and disrespectful to adults. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 30. And let me just say this. Please listen to me very carefully. There is never a reason. Please listen to me. Some of you need to write this down. There is never a reason, why a kid should be correcting an adult unless it's literally a matter of life and death or, severe injury. You understand what I just said? The only time that a kid should be allowed to walk up to an adult and correct them, especially publicly, is if someone's going to die or be maimed or injured. Look, when an adult starts to tell a story and they're like, on Tuesday we were whatever, and some kid pipes up and says, it was Wednesday, that kid needs a spanking. That kid should not be allowed. Well, it was Wednesday. It doesn't matter. You don't allow your kids to correct adults. You don't allow your kids to rebuke an elder. When an adult starts telling a story and it's like, yeah, and then in June, it's like, no, it was July. That kid needs a spanking. That kid, I remember one time, this wasn't even, I usually ask permission to tell stories. I didn't ask permission for this one, so hopefully my sister will forgive me. This wasn't even my parents. One time, because my sister is a lot older than I am. I don't know if you know. I'm just kidding. Not a lot older than me. She's a little older than me. And, I was like 11 years old, and she was, 17. And she was walking me and my brother to the park or to the library or something. And I remember somebody asked her the time. And she said, it's noon. And I said, it's 12:03. And I remember, it wasn't even my parents. My sister just looked at me and said, and I just knew. And the rest of the time, she was just rebuking me, you don't correct people. I'm thankful for a sister that taught me that. You don't sit there and correct adults, especially in front of other adults. If you want to fail as a parent, mom, you allow your kids to be mouthy. You say, what do you do? When your kid, you say, you need to go sit down. And then you deal with it. Never allow your children to correct or to be mouthy with someone that is older than them or grown from them. Proverbs 30, 17 says this, the eye. Notice that the Bible says here, the eye. The eye, notice what it says. Some of you teenagers need to listen up. Proverbs 30, 17. Some of you teenagers need to memorize this verse. Proverbs 30, 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. You know that the eye communicates rebellion? Say, how do you know when a kid's being rebellious to you? Just watch them roll their eyes. You tell them to do something, they roll their eyes. You know what God thinks about that? God says, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You say, oh, you kids, you teenagers are like, are you trying to threaten me? Yes! Don't roll your eyes to your parents. And you parents, you'd be wise if you didn't allow your children to roll their eyes at you, to communicate disrespect to you. You know, we often try to teach our children, we obey right away with a smile. We obey right away with a smile. It's not enough that they obey. They need to obey right away. It's not enough that they obey right away. They need to do it with the right attitude. You know, in our home, if our kids are instructed to do something and they do it, but they do it with a bad attitude, they're getting a spanking. We took the trash out. Yeah, but you were mumbling under your breath the whole time and rolled your eyes at me. You obey right away with a smile. Some of you should write that down. Obey right away with a smile. You know, one of the greatest ways of teaching is by taking statements and just repeating them over and over. Let your children learn these statements. My wife will often say, how do we do it? My kids respond, we obey right away with a smile. Why do they say that? Because they've heard it a lot. Why do they say that? Because they've heard it a lot. Don't allow your children to be mouthy, to have bad attitudes with you or with other adults. Proverbs 1. Look at verse 8. How do we fail as a mother? How do we fail as a mother? You say, well, Pastor, this is not a very encouraging Mother's Day sermon. Yeah, but you know what? It might save your motherhood. It might save your career as a mom if you listen to the things I'm telling you. Number 9. You want to fail as a mom? Never teach or instruct your children in the matters of life. Never teach or instruct your children in the matters of life. Proverbs 1:8 says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 31, I want you to look at this verse. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. We know Proverbs 31 as the famous virtuous woman chapter. The great chapter about how women should act and what you should be looking for in a wife, and that they all those wonderful lessons taught there in Proverbs 31, that women, we often preach Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day, or we preach Proverbs 31 to women, or we try to get women to learn Proverbs 31. But I want you to notice the great Proverbs 31 chapter about how to be a virtuous woman was actually taught by a mother to her son. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. You know what I know about King Lemuel's mother? Is that she was a very wise mother. Because she sat there and she taught her son, hey, don't give your heart, don't give your strength to women. Wine's not for you. Wine's not for you, my son. She sat there and wrote one of the greatest chapters in Scripture on how to be a godly woman, and it was written for her to try to tell her son, this is the type of wife that you should be looking for. Proverbs 31 is a passage where a mother is telling a son, look for these attributes in a wife. She was a successful mother. She instructed her children in the matters of life. And listen to me, Mom, your job is to instruct your children in the matters of life. You need to make sure that you are training your children and disciplining your children, not just in school, not just in the Word of God, but just in life in general. You know, be teaching them about life. Be teaching them every opportunity you get. Just instructing them. If you want to succeed, you'll be spending time with your kids, instructing them, teaching them. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to go to Proverbs 23, and then we'll be done. Deuteronomy 6, Proverbs 23, and then we'll be done. Deuteronomy 6, Proverbs 23, and you know, we've been talking about how to fail as a mother. How do you fail? Number 1, see your children as a burden. Number 2, fail to discipline your children. Number 3, be harsh with your children and never encourage or praise them. Number 4, ignore your children and prioritize other things over them. Number 5, be an example of an angry and rebellious woman to your kids. Number 6, be oblivious to the state of your children's hearts. Number 7, be fake and only concerned with how you are perceived. Number 8, allow your children to be mouthy and disrespectful to adults. Number 9, never teach or instruct your children in the matters of life. And here's point number 10, give up on your children and your grandchildren. You want to fail as a mom? Just give up. I'm shocked by the amount of parents that get to these teenage years and they're just like, you know, I'm just done. I'm just going to wait till they're 18 and when they move out, and I'm just done. Or they look at their grown kids and say, I'm just done. You know what? If there's anyone that should never give up on their kids, it's mom. If there's anyone that should always, you say, well, I can't control. Can you pray? Can you fast? Can you try to help? You know, you say, well, I've already, you know, didn't raise them right. But what about your grandkids? What about their kids? What about coming in and being an influence in the life of the next generation? We talked about this a few weeks ago in a sermon about David and Goliath, but let's just look at it real quickly. Deuteronomy 6:1 says, now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command, notice what it says, thee. And then he says this, thou, that's you, and thy sons, that's the next generation, and thy sons' sons, that's the third generation, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You know what, here's all I'm trying to tell you, moms. Be influencing your children. And you say, my children are grown. I wish I would have heard this sermon 30 years ago. Okay, well, here's the thing. Influence their children. Well, they already have, then influence their children. But never give up. Never give up. The biggest thing that a parent could do to fail their children is to give up on your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Proverbs 23 and verse 24. We're done right here. Proverbs 23 and verse 24. Why would you preach a sermon called How to Fail as a Mother? Because I'm trying to help you avoid failure. I hope you'll take these admonitions so that you can succeed as a mother. We're trying to avoid being the mother full of heaviness. We're trying to avoid being the mother full of shame. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Proverbs 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Verse 25, thy father and, don't miss this, ladies, thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, I'm a mother who is heavy. I am a mother full of shame. You want to get to the end of your career as a mother and say, I am glad and I can rejoice. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. That's the verse in the bulletin. That's the goal. That's the goal. How do you do that? Well, we learned about it today. Avoid these pitfalls. Take your job as a mom seriously. And you'll be able to get to the end of your life and say, I rejoice. I rejoice. And you know, we need to learn as parents, don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on them. Sometimes it seems dark. And sometimes, you know, parents come to me and their hearts are broken. They're saying, I just don't know. Just keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep influencing. Keep helping them. Obviously, as when they're adults, we do it in a different way. But stay involved in their lives. Never give up on those kids. Let's bow our heads and have a word.